Good morning, and welcome to Netia's H1 2011 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Miroslav Godlevski, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Godlevski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today we will walk you through our results for the first half of 2011, and through that conference call we'll be referring to the presentation which is posted on our website for investors. Those who haven't printed it yet can find it on the left-hand side of the website in the menu of the presentations. So I hope as we walk you through that we'll be able to refer to the presentation which you can see. So let's start with just page 2, right away with the guidance, which we are today vastly confirming, except for downgrading our guidance on broadband subscribers from initial 700 to 800,000 range down to 750,000, as well as we are withdrawing today our guidance on voice subscribers, as well as midterm guidance on broadband subscribers. And as we will be going through the presentation, I think we'll explain the reasons for this change. So let's move to page 3 and take a look at some key highlights of the first half year of 2011. We keep growing our revenue, and it was 797 million for the first half year, and it's 2% up on a year-over-year basis, which is, I think, a good accomplishment on an overall declining market. Our subscriber base shows progress against what is also a slowing market, and I will show you more details on the following pages of that performance. We continue to grow strongly on LLU. As you remember, this is absolutely important priority, strategic priority, as this is one of the drivers of improvement of the margin. We've added 13,000 customers on LLU just in the second quarter. Right now we are having 612 nodes unbundled and altogether 159,000 clients at the end of second quarter. That includes 86,000 migrated from Bitstream and WLR. So we are very happy with the performance on that front. We are also reporting today what is, in my mind, a successful pilot of NGA, a new generation access, based on our three-play offer. And I will share some more first learnings today with you on that. Jonathan Eastick, our CFO, will walk you also through more details on financial performance, so I will not comment on it now, but in a few minutes you're going to get the full commentary on that. Let's move to page 4 of that presentation, and let's have a more details on our progress on broadband. As we've been flagging in the first quarter, and it's unfortunate, the second quarter also confirms that there is overall slowdown of the broadband market. You can see chart on the top right hand of that presentation, and you can see that our estimate of the second quarter net adds, total market net adds, is just 60,000 customers, which is the subscribers, which is really one of the lowest in the history of our focus on this market. On that, we keep growing our market share. So we are estimating it at 11.7%, and we keep we estimate the fastest growing broadband provider. As I mentioned earlier, our LLU performance is very good. It's actually 118% up year-over-year basis. We are also having a stable ARPU. The stock is going up due to sales mix, and the sales mix is what we are targeting very consciously. As I said, our guidance for full year is reduced to 750,000 subscribers at the year end. And I have to say, I'm also not satisfied with the performance of our net adds on the first half of the year. But I think by now we know what was that driven by, and we are taking, in my mind, right steps to improve it. So to be back on what we are more used to, about 20% of net adds going forward. Now I'll also comment on that a little bit more down the presentation. If you take a look at the performance of our voice services, you can also see on the top right part of the presentation that the obviously fixed voice market continues to shrink. And in that segment, our objective is to broadly maintain number of voice customers, as we said earlier. Yes, we've seen some decline on that front, as we are not really chasing those customers and not competing on price front that much. We are much more focused on making sure that we have customers served directly on our own network, and it's a pleasure really to report that we now have 31% of customers served that way, and also that voice services are an important addition in our two-play and triple-play offer. So we are withdrawing the guidance on voice subscribers, not to say that we are not aiming at maintaining flat number of the services, but more to say it's not a strategic objective. It's not what we'll be chasing, and therefore we don't feel like really setting it as a target for investors and for the whole organization. Netia is targeting higher ARPU customers also on that front and upselling unlimited national call bundles in order really to attract those higher value customers. So you see also stabilized voice ARPU in the first half of this year at 51 zlotys, and revenue is only down 1%, which again I think is a good accomplishment on that voice declining voice market. Let's jump to page 6, and let me bring up what we also said in the beginning of the year about the new strategy, and when the new strategy was announced. And in line with this announcement, which we called Strategy 2020, adopted in January, we said Netia will focus on medium and higher end customers market segment on our own network and LLU, which is posting similar margins to our own network, multiplay services including IPTV, and network upgrade to NGA standards. So that is really laying foundations for the acceleration in the future growth, and that strategy shift which I've just described, was really aiming at anticipation of the eventual slowdown of the broadband market growth. I think we were just not expecting that it would start happening already in 2011. You may recall that when we were setting our initial objectives for 2012, we've been assuming a market growth of way above 500,000 a year. We've been seeing such a growth in early years of 700,000 to 800,000 subscribers a year, and we are seeing now a slowdown. So it's just that we have now faster focus on implementation of those new targets, and we are doing so. On the next two pages, I'll share with you again promising results of our new offer and pilot of NGA. So on that NGA sales performance is really expected to accelerate along with NGA network rollout in this first phase of network upgrade. By end of this year we'll cover 500,000 homes passed, majority of that on VDSL lines, so 50 meg type of speeds. We are aiming at having 380,000 of such lines and 120,000 of fiber to the building, which is our Ethernet networks upgraded with 100 meg speeds possible. Along with this new strategy, we've introduced also a new, what we call, no limits offer, which you can see some of those learnings on page 7. Some of the initial results are really mixed, and by now we know why. It has a lot to do with the complexity of communicating some of the unique selling points and our new execution of advertising. So as I said, by now we know what and how has to be improved, and we are now taking steps to make sure that we are back on our peak of quality of promotion and advertising effort, which should directly convert into higher share of net ads. But I'm very happy at the same time with first learnings from our newly introduced Netia Spot, which is our first ever proprietary router. Let's just take a look at some of the benefits we are bringing to the market as an introduction of that router. It's very user-friendly, it's plug-and-play. It allows for connecting full range of digital equipment into a home wireless network. Also provides access to Netia's mobile internet, which I'll also share with you some more details on it in a minute. Allows for sharing files, so managing your own library. It's self-diagnostic, so it also lowers costs of supporting our customers on technical issues. And it has a very modern design. And the first reception of customers is very positive of this proprietary router. And it's important for us because soon we'll be bringing into the market another device of similar nature. We've talked about it as a media gateway, and I think toward the end of the year you should see more details on that from us. So an important part of the strategy was also NGA and free play offer. So page 8, let me explain on page 8 some of the first learnings of this NGA rollout. So first, a little bit of information. We tested the NGA and free play pilot on 30,000 homes passed. We had on those households 19 penetration of our internet services, so 5,600 active internet customers. And after 3 months of really soft initial and then commercial trying, we reached the 1,100 free play customers, again on the 30,000 homes passed, right, by middle of July. So 80% of them would be taking triple play, and 20% of that sales was new customers. So I think you can share my excitement about those results on what was a small sample. But that sample was really very representative to the market. So overlapping with cable TV companies, in some places we would have two, three, or even up to four infrastructure-based competitors. So that is really the true landscape of the market. So preliminary conclusions to us are run rates are actually better than our early stages of LLU. If you remember, we had kind of a hard time to start selling before we found a way how to do it. On that, although it's very new, very fresh to us, we are making fast progress. We know now that on-net penetration can be increased with the triple play offer. There is also significant opportunity to increase penetration by taking share in pay TV market, and pay TV market is still growing in Poland. So we are so excited that we are actually now taking a deep look on updating our longer term plans to reflect those positive pilot findings. And we very quickly took a decision to upgrade 500,000 lines into NGA standard by end of this year, and we are already in the phase of executing it. Sorry for the Polish wording under the table, but what it really says is a potential for the NGA. And I would draw your attention to second column of this, which says NGA potential. We are trying to demonstrate how many lines in total could be upgraded to NGA, and we are estimating it right now at 2 million lines. By end of this year, we should have 500,000. By next year, at least 800,000, but the total potential is 2 million. A lot of that is on LLU, roughly half, our own copper and Ethernet networks. As you know, currently 370,000 homes passed, almost all of them upgradable, but we keep buying those lines, so it can equally be that this NGA potential will even be higher. Let's flip to page 9, and there is one more new initiative which I think is worth sharing with you, and as it is also a promising development for us, and that's a mobile broadband services and a nice acceleration we are witnessing. So some key highlights on that, so you understand how we are going around that. We are selling mobile voice to SMEs with integrated what we've had for some time in the market already, one office offer, and also USB modems marked to that SME segment and existing residential customers. Services provided in cooperation with P4 under an MVNO agreement we have with them. And important, I think, to you and to all the analysts is that margins on this mobile broadband are very comparable to bitstream access services. And as we are upselling it into existing customer base, it's a pure incremental margin to us. In the bottom left chart, you see how that base of mobile broadband subscribers is growing for us. I think we've finally figured out how to sell it. So I think the true representation of the dynamics we can accomplish is the change between second and the first quarter of this year, which was up by 81%, so we are now having more than 16,000 mobile broadband services sold. So what I want to underline is that despite that there is a slowdown on the market, we've took the right decisions with a new strategy to refocus on more our own network, that includes LLU, more services per customer, therefore higher revenue customers focus, and we are already implementing it. Yes, it starts from zero or from a very small base, but it lays foundations for what should be already visible in our growth numbers, I think, by next year. Let's take a look at more of the financials now, and I'll pass to Jonathan Eastick to walk you through that.
Thank you, Mirek. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to take you through the financial performance of Netia for the first half of 2011 and Q2, and also make some comments on the financial position of our business. So I'm going to start off from slide 10, which gives an overview on the key financial figures. First of all, for the half year, the revenue came in at 797.5 million zloty, which is 2.2% up on the first half of 2010. And our adjusted EBITDA came in at 194.3 million, which is a 24.4% margin, and that's about 4.4% up on the prior year. So we're still seeing a steady improvement in the financial performance on a year-to-date basis. Obviously, you will have noted that on the second quarter versus Q1 of 2011, things have been a little bit more challenging, and a lot of my remarks today are going to be focusing in on Q1 to Q2 in the next couple of slides. Just for the record here, though, the revenue for Q2 was 396.3 million zloty, 0.7% higher than a year earlier. And down about almost 5 million zloty from 401.2 million recorded in the first quarter of this year. Adjusted EBITDA also slipped down from 101.5 in Q1 to 92.8 million zloty in the second quarter. Good news on net profitability and on cash generation. Net profit came in at 12.9 million zloty for the quarter. Obviously, you'll probably recall in Q1 we booked 58 million zloty tax expense relating to 2003 following an adverse court decision. We've now appealed that decision to the highest instance of the Polish court. Hopefully sometime next year we'll receive a judgment which we would still hope to be in our favour. So we're back in profit, and we have every expectation that the rest of this year will be profitable and that we'll finish the full year in profit. On cash generation, we put another 58 million zloty into the bank during the course of the second quarter to finish the quarter with 430 million zloty of cash on the balance sheet. Moving over the page to slide 11, we decided to include a little EBITDA bridge to take you through the deterioration from 101.5 million of EBITDA in Q1 down to the 92.8 million we've just reported for Q2. So first of all, on the left-hand side there, you'll see that three of our four revenue-generating segments saw a decline sequentially in revenues. The only exception, Soho SME, which continues to grow very nicely, you see in the middle there. Couple of factors here overall. There was a almost 2 million zloty catch-up invoice on interconnection booked in Q1. This followed a change of interconnection rates in our favour decided by the regulator in the fourth quarter, and a catch-up invoice was issued in Q1 because we weren't sure initially whether TP would not dispute the changes. In the event they didn't dispute it, and we booked the catch-up in the first quarter. So obviously that didn't repeat in Q2, and that explains about 40% of the fall in the revenue. Another significant component is seasonality. I'll talk more about that when we get to the corporate revenues in particular. But also below our expectations performance on the residential market, which I'll also discuss in more detail in a moment. On the cost side, the network operating costs are up about 2 million compared to the first quarter. This is the cost of increasing transmission speeds for customers. In particular, the customers connected over the TPSA network. As customers move on to these no limits offers or start to demand 8 meg, 10 meg, 20 meg type of speeds, the monthly cost of those connections, especially on Bitstream, starts to go up. So that's the main driver behind that cost increase. Advertising spending is actually down year on year, but is up Q2 to Q1. That's mainly behind the new offers which we put into the market, which Mirek has just described extensively. So there was a need to spend more than we did in the first quarter, and we foresee that continuing into Q3. The third-party commissions actually were lower in Q2 than in Q1, as one would expect, given that we did activate fewer new customers than in Q1. We had some one-off effects around the SOP. The run-up in the company's share price meant that we had to increase the reserves we have for incidental costs of execution of options. So that added 1 million of additional cost. Also on receivables, that is a notoriously lumpy expense, and it actually was 2 million higher in Q2 than in the first quarter. We sold some receivables in Q1, booked a profit which offset the normal level of receivables. So a few overall, a couple of one-off effects, and a slight softness on underlying revenue was responsible for the vast majority of the reduction in the EBITDA. Q1 to Q2 to Q1. For the second half of the year, we do expect to get back on track and see the EBITDA moving up strongly. The margin trend we expect to improve. I talked a lot in the first quarter about how important the ARPUs are for this year and for the achievement of our EBITDA targets. As you've seen in the earlier slides, ARPUs have actually been very stable in the first part of the year, and with the steps we're taking to move away from the lower end of the market and stop chasing customers in that part of the market, there's every chance that these ARPUs will stay strong the rest of the year, giving us a chance to increase the service margin. With very tight cost control, we believe we can still get to this 405 million of EBITDA for the full year that we're targeting. So moving over to slide 12, you see the revenue by type. Broadband revenue, or the data revenue, I should say, overall is up 1 million Q2 versus Q1 at 154 million zloty. You'll see that other data, which is basically things like lease line, was relatively weak, down 2 million plus another 1 million on the P4 contract. However, the underlying core broadband, if you like, was actually up quarter to quarter. By about 4 million zloty. So on the data revenue side, actually a good trend in the second quarter there. On voice, a similar trend to what we've been seeing over the past few quarters. The indirect voice dropping quickly and being responsible for the vast majority of the fall in voice revenue. On the other hand, direct voice holding up pretty well. Again, the ARPUs were stable through the first half of 2011, so that's allowed us to almost keep the revenue stable, even though we've been seeing a decline in the number of customers. On other revenues, it was a pretty stable quarter. You can see there pretty clearly that catch-up effect on interconnection revenue, the 21 million versus the 18 million Q1 to Q2. Go over the page and having a quick look at the residential market. You can see here the tough trading conditions that we've been facing over the last couple of quarters. As Mirek already touched on, the market is growing more slowly, and we're facing pretty stiff competition since TPSA reduced its price level in October of last year on the data side, but also there's a lot of competition for WLR customers as well, particularly on the low end of the market. So as a result, you can see the number of services on the bottom left-hand chart has actually dropped down slightly from a peak of 1,476,000 in Q4. We ended the half year with 1,461,000 RGUs. On the other hand, the proportion of customers taking more than one service increased to 30%. So that means that the proportion of very profitable business for us is continuing to grow strongly. So we believe by continuing to focus on these high margin customers, either double play, it will be increasingly triple play later in this year as we roll out the NGA network across 500,000 lines, and also on network and LLU customers where the margins are thicker. We believe by staying focused on this part of the market, we'll be able to return to revenue growth in this segment and also get the margins moving forward again. Over the page on Soho SME on slide 14, this segment continues to go from strength to strength. We hit 50 million of revenue in the second quarter. We're up about 9% on the second quarter a year earlier. The number of services continues to grow strongly. We added another 9,000 services across voice and data in the second quarter, and we had a stellar performance in terms of increasing the number of multi-plays. We're up now to 45% of the base taking more than one service from Netia. Corporate, over the page on slide 15, recorded $83 million of revenue in the second quarter, down $2 million on the first quarter, but up $2 million on the second quarter a year earlier. The second quarter in Poland on the business market is affected by the fact that there are a couple of bank holidays, the Easter and the May holidays both have an impact on the number of work days, which will have had an impact on revenue in corporate. But overall, the number of services is increasing in this segment, and we're investing behind data services in particular, and we expect a stronger performance in the second part of the year. As I mentioned already in earlier remarks on revenue, the carrier segment is pretty stable overall, $55 million of revenue in Q2 versus $57 million in Q1, EBITDA margins overall in the mid-40s, as it continues to be a mixture of leasing of high-margin network facilities and transiting and trading of traffic at lower margins, but very cash generative. OPEX remains under control overall. Headcount was actually down slightly at 1,397 active headcount in Q2. You can see that the Netia core is trending down quite steadily, whereas we're adding employees as we add Ethernet operators, acquiring one or two each quarter. In terms of SG&A expenses to revenue, 1% higher in the second quarter relative to Q1. That's mainly the effect of the advertising expenditure in sales and distribution costs. One other thing to mention on this slide is that the regulator finally took a decision regarding universal service payments for subsidies towards TPSA's costs for the period 2006 to 2009. We estimate our share of that decision at 2.4 million zloty, and although we've appealed it and we would hope we won't have to pay it, we decided it was the prudent thing to do to make a reserve. So you see that mentioned in the bullet points on the right-hand side of that slide. Capital investment on slide 18, you'll see 98 million zloty spent in the first half of the year, up from 81 million in the first half of 2010. Increased spending on the data side as we've accelerated the LLU rollout compared to a year earlier. We're hoping to get the program finished during the third quarter, whereas in previous years we've needed into the fourth quarter to finish building all the nodes. On our own network and IT, more spending on IT. We mentioned previously that we're starting to work on upgrading the IT architecture of the company. That's a multi-year project. We're also spending more behind Corpo customer acquisition and on increasing the capacity of the transmission network. Free cash flow wise, we have a rolling four-quarter 151 million zloty positive difference between EBITDA and capital investment. We'd expect that to improve now strongly in the second half of the year. Second half of the year's capex will be more similar to last year, and obviously we're expecting a stronger EBITDA in the second half of 2011. Just over the page on slide 19, just quickly, the unusual items that we excluded from EBITDA in the first half of 2011. I already mentioned the USO provision of 2.4 million zloty. We're also obviously now having to expense M&A-related costs as they're incurred. That's an accounting rule change, I think, since January of last year. There are a couple of acquisition projects running at the moment, as you will have read in the press, and there was 1.7 million of expenses in that regard during the second, mostly during the second quarter. Okay, so that's the comments regarding the financial performance. On slide 20, a couple of quick comments about the situation with acquisitions. We did acquire two Ethernet networks with a total of 5,000 customers in the second quarter. There is a pretty full pipeline of projects, and we'd expect to make progress, accelerating progress in Q3 and Q4 of this year. There are several significant altnet operators other than Netia out there in the market, and they're either up for sale or, according to press comment, are likely to be up for sale in the coming quarters. And we do intend to look very closely at each of these opportunities as they come along. Having said that, we're determined as a management to focus first and foremost on shareholder value, and I'm not prepared to pay an excessive price for any of these businesses. We are mindful of the fact that we have an authority from the shareholders to undertake a buyback of up to 350 million zloty, and should that be the better use for the money, then obviously that is what we will do. But there are some interesting acquisition opportunities, and we do see that as a potentially very interesting way to develop the cash flows of the business going forward. So with that comment, I'll hand it back to Mirek just to give some quick concluding remarks.
Thank you, Jonathan. We'll obviously try to make as much time available for your question as possible. So very quick summary. As I have been stating in the beginning, our focus going forward is really on further progress on multi-play services, double play and triple play in particular, rollout of LLU and migration into this technology, also customer care as one of the drivers of our performance in the market, rather than price, and upgrade of the network into new generation access standards, which is 50 meg and 100 meg type of speed. This NGA and IPTV pilots were very successfully completed with very promising results, which led up into this decision already to extend the network into 500,000 homes passed on NGA by year-end, and there is a bigger potential ahead of us. So that elements of strategy are unfolding in a very promising way. But at the same time, we've seen the challenging market environment happening earlier than we've foreseen. Really, the first and the second quarter are slow on overall growth of the market and also competitive pressure. But we also recognizing that our sales was impacted negatively by our offer, no limits offer, slower than expected weaker than expected acceptance. So there are changes planned to sales and marketing mix to increase the offer's attractiveness for low-end customers, but also faster than initially assumed expansion of our three-play availability to support the base offer and drive TV services sales. As just John mentioned, at the same time we are busy with this consideration of acquisitions versus buyback, and you know, obviously buyback is likely to go ahead once acquisition situation is clarified. But I think this on that end, this is going to be an exciting next two quarters, exciting development on that front. I've mentioned right in the beginning our change in the guidance of broadband subscribers, but also I think it's extremely important to say that all the financial targets remain unchanged, and we are very committed to deliver both EBITDA and revenue figures as guided in the beginning of this year. With that, I would like to pass to you for any questions we might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press 7 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Okay, and we have a question from the line of Presnet from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I have a question regarding the increase in provisioning for the receivables. It is up 2 million zloty in the second quarter of 2011. Could you remind me what was the value of this position in the 2Q 2010, how does it compare year on year and relative to the first quarter? And the second question is on Dialog. How do you see the time schedule on the bidding process and the announcement of the exclusivity partner for the talks, given that KGHM plans to wait until the Polkomtel sale is approved by the Anti-Monopoly Office to proceed with the sale of Dialog?
All right, let me start with second question, which in a way is easy because we are not allowed to comment too much on that. But I would only say that the press-based facts are not always fully educated. It's more speculation. Sometimes it's purposely thrown in rumors and messages. So I could only refer to what has also been reported in press by KGHM management that they are committed to sell Dialog. They would like to move ahead with this in a third quarter, and they did confirm that the process is running. And I don't think they said anything about exclusivity. Nor even officially stating that they would be waiting for Polkomtel sale or confirmation through UOKiK. And looking at the recent UOKiK decisions, how long it was taking, I think this would be completely contradictory with the attempt to complete or make a decision around the third quarter. The first question, John to comment on.
Yeah, I think the first question was just what was the bad debt expense in Q2 of last year. It was 2.7 million zloty, so slightly above this year, which was 2.4.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. Okay, we have a question from the line of Igor Semenov from Deutsche. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Igor from Deutsche Bank. Can I just ask about the market slowdown? What is the reason for that? Because it as far as I can see the statistical data, the penetration of broadband is a little bit behind in Poland relative to the other markets, comparable markets. So what is the while the economic performance on a macro level seems to be better than that in Hungary or in some other countries, so what is the reason for the marked slowdown of the net additions?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The penetration, it was way below European standard. It's around 45% of the household penetration. And We've been assuming that by 2012, when we were announcing our strategy back in 2007, that the penetration would move up to 60% or so. Clearly, this is not going to happen, which is part of the reason for us to take this year's guidance down. I have to say that's the type of the question we are asking ourselves constantly, and I can't say I have a very clear answer to it. I think we have a big disproportion between cities and more rural or small village or small towns and areas where still 40% of the population lives and where the need for internet or believed need for internet is just lower. And I think it has to do something with the demand. For instance, we see that there are a lot of computers, even if there are computers, are not connected to the internet, so clearly are used offline just for the gaming and typing and stuff like that. So I think it's partially up on us as industry, maybe more, even more so on leaders than the second and third players, to stimulate this demand from more of those rural areas. But as I said, the detailed reasons and remedies, I think, are yet to be determined. The good news is the market is still growing, right? And the people are taking on more services, which you also see on pay TV, and we see on those value-added services of antivirus and backup online and stuff like that. But it's just happening slower than predicted.
Right, and then does it mean that in terms of your CapEx outlook, in order to reach those more rural areas or smaller towns, does it mean that your CapEx would have to go up?
No, it's not that there is no cabling. It's more, I think, awareness of why they need this type of services. Our CapEx, which is focused on expansion of the network capacity and capabilities, if you like, is more focused on residential areas. And here we are talking about this upgrading to NGA, so our own copper to 50 meg standard, and Ethernet networks into 100 meg standard, and further expansion until the end of this year of LLU, and eventually, as you could see in the table we presented about the potential of the NGA upgrade of some of those LLU lines, those which are upgradable, again into NGA standard, so we can provide faster speed internet and more services, like triple play services over that network. But the rural areas, are more a basic need for services. Even the 1 meg, 2 meg type of speeds, which are available to many people, are just not purchased.
Does it mean that the ARPU is too high for them?
Well, again, looking at statistics, that doesn't seem to be a problem. Neither ARPU nor GDP. So as I said, we could probably carry that discussion for 2 hours, which we did many times within the company. But I don't think there is a simple answer to it right now.
Okay, so basically, I was just trying to understand if your guidance for retail revenue growth of 5-10% is still, validated. So it's just you're not expecting a major dilution of the ARPU as you move towards the more rural areas.
Well, we are recognizing the market slowdown, right? And we are recognizing that there is a big polarity of customers. So on one hand, those more rural areas are not picking up even on the basic services. But on the other hand, you have more of those residential areas which are demanding higher speed and more services. So with a triple play offer and NGA upgrade, we are recognizing that dynamics and actually shifting the revenue growth expectations away from those low-end customers who are not even coming up at the very low-end offers, right, into more triple-play customers, and we finally have tools to compete within this triple-play market and higher speeds and higher value customers. Okay, so that's the shift we're doing. We're not going to chase volume with a low ARPU if there is no demand at current levels.
Yeah, understood. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Leszek Owesko from SG. Please go ahead.
Yes. Morning, Leszek from Societe Generale. Actually, Igor asked already my question. Maybe more specifically, I would ask, do you see mobile internet as a potential substitution to fixed broadband? Because the market for mobile internet seems to be doing okay, so maybe this is the reason for the slowdown on the fixed market.
We don't see, and we are not envisioning mobile broadband to be a substitution. Obviously, with an exception of some niche specific customers who will never need fixed, maybe. But in general terms, this is not going to be a substitution, especially as we are moving into more sophisticated triple play and higher speed services. That is not an issue, but we also more see an opportunity in it for us, as this market is dynamically growing. It's growing from the, I'd say, for two reasons. One, it's starting from a low base. Secondly, it's number of devices, mobile devices, which are making it attractive to use. But that is an add-on, an addition, rather than a substitution. And with a triple play requirement for more becoming a standard high-definition television, the reliability of the line and the speed of the line of at least, that should be then 20-plus meg, is almost a guarantee that people will need fixed connectivity back home.
All right, got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sander Pulleritz from SEB. Please go ahead.
Morning, this is Sander Pulleritz from SEB. I had two short questions. Firstly, you mentioned in your presentation that you see a kind of improvement in EBITDA margin going forward. Can you explain briefly how is that possible even if we see flat ARPU numbers, increasing cost pressure from more aggressive competition and a slowdown in market growth?
Sure. Was there a second question?
Yeah, the second question is regarding, I don't know how much you can disclose about it, but are there any deadlines in place in terms of when are you going to decide between further acquisitions or CapEx or buyback? Because, I mean, the cash is really piling up really quickly on the balance sheet, and it already shows in per share, and even if you look at your own per subscriber numbers, for example, it doesn't make really much sense to be a sort of a treasury.
Sure. I'll deal with that second one first. There are some acquisition processes running at the moment. It's common knowledge in the, from the press. Although we can't really comment on the stage of those activities. If for any reason, you know, that those transactions don't go in our favour, then you know, we'd be pretty likely to make a decision very soon afterwards on buybacks. If they do go in our favour, then a lot of this cash will get consumed, and the buyback issue will be pushed back a quarter or two. Okay, but we do have a mandate to complete the buyback activity that we propose within a 12-month period, which I think expires in at the beginning of June next year. So there's no real rush to come to a decision on the buyback. On the first question on EBITDA, how are we going to improve during the second part of the year? A couple of factors. As I said, I mean, the ARPUs are showing good trends, and we believe with this slight defocus away from the low-end volume customers, which are bringing low ARPUs into the base and relatively little margin, we're able to get the ARPU moving up and get the gross margin moving up much more quickly than we've done over the last 12 months. That's the first key point. The second one is that the corpo market we expect to do better during the second part of this year. That is a part of the market where we have a 50% margin, and that very quickly feeds through into better EBITDA. On acquisition cost, you will note in our press release that these proprietary boxes that we're introducing to the market, the Netia Spot, we have others in the pipeline around our TV offer. These items will be leased to the customer, and therefore they won't be expensed in the P&L going forward. Up until now, generic routers that we've been buying from the market and reselling to customers, because we were selling them, they've been treated as an expense. In this case, we'll be capitalising them very much as the satellite TV operators do, for example. In addition, very tight cost control in the second half of the year. So for these factors together, we're confident that we can get to the EBITDA guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you do wish to ask a question, press 7 on your keypad now. We have a question from the line of Jacob Discaldi from IDM. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question regarding your DNA, because when we see your forecast for 2011 with EBITDA of 405 and EBIT of 70 million, it would imply DNA for the whole year of 335 million, while we had only 151 in the first half of the year. So it would imply 185 in the second half of the year. So my question is, shouldn't you rather change your EBIT guidance towards closer to 100 for this year? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I think 100 might be a little bit high. I think you're right that there is room for the EBIT to be higher than that 70 figure, but we took the view that we would leave all the financial guidance unchanged rather than just make relatively minor change on EBIT. But you're right that there is room for it to be higher than 70.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will turn the call over to Mr. Podlevski for his final comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all the questions and listening to our update call on the first half of 2011. And as always, we are looking forward to meeting you in person over the next weeks. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.